Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, brought to you by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor, solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Kelly Walquist, sitting in for Corey Regan this week.
Tell us what you've been up to.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we have our seventh class, if you can believe that, beginning at the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute next September. So we're just getting ready to get the applications going. They're on the website.
That has really gone huge, hasn't it?
It has been beautiful. Such a blessing. And it's just amazing to think that we have six classes out there.
Great stuff.
It
Great
is. Stuff.
Well, coming up on the Rediscover Hour today, we'll have a preview of the first talk in the Rediscover Faith 2014 Speaker Series. Talks in the first series last year drew crowds of people eager to grow in the faith. Find out more about the talks in this year's series, which focuses on prayer.
Then local Catholic men tell us who is the biggest influence on their prayer life and why.
And hear about the moving experience of the prayer vigil for hope, healing, and mercy. Why you might want to take time out for this pro-life night of reflection.
Plus, find out about an inspiring local learning opportunity for healthcare workers. We'll discuss a special two-day conference dedicated to joyfully bearing witness to the dignity of the human person in the midst of growing challenges to human life and healthcare.
But first, we'll start the show like we usually do with Joe Towalski, editor of the Catholic Spirit. Hello, Joe.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Kelly.
Morning.
Where are we? We just had the Catholic Spirit come out.
That's right. And one of our local stories this week is about the Catholic Services Appeal Foundation that was recently formed to receive and distribute all CSA dollars. You know, as you know, CSA funds support a wide variety of ministries around the Archdiocese, including our Catholic schools and our seminaries and the work of Catholic Charities, as well as the Rediscover Initiative.
This is what used to be known as the Bishop's Appeal.
That's right. And this new foundation has three officers, including Tim Healy, who with his wife Helen serve as the 2014 CSA chair couple. You know, in recent months there have been obviously media stories about clergy sexual abuse, and some Catholics may be concerned about how their donations to the CSA will be used. Well, the creation of the foundation ensures that the CSA has its own separate bank account, that every single dollar goes to these, you know, life-sustaining and faith-sustaining ministries and nothing else. So in upcoming issues, we'll be spotlighting the work of the appeal. And actually, in our next issue, January 30th, we'll be highlighting Catholic Schools Week, and we'll include a story about how CSA dollars are helping our Catholic schools to foster academic excellence and pass on our faith to the next generation.
Great stuff. And the March for Life is coming up.
Yep, next Wednesday, both here in Minnesota at the state capitol and in our nation's capital. And, you know, sadly, we're marking the 41 years since Roe v. Wade and the loss of about 55 million unborn lives since that ruling. But thank God the pro-life movement is strong and is making gains. And the marches are one very public way of witnessing to the pro-life cause. And the local march is actually preceded by the annual prayer service for life at the Cathedral of St. Paul, and that starts at 10:30 on Wednesday. And if you go to that, make sure you march down to the Capitol right after that for the noon rally. And then we have, you know, a group of youth going to Washington, D.C. as well for the National March on Wednesday, as well as for the Pro-Life Mass at the National Basilica and the Students for Life Conference. And it's an annual trip that's organized by the Archdiocese, and it's really a transformative experience for the youth who are able to go. I think we have around 200 going this year. And we have a story in this week's paper about a few students for whom this will be their fourth trip. And they talk about what's been motivating them to go every year and how it's impacted their faith lives. And it's had, you know, quite an impact on a number of them.
Tell me, I'll put you on the spot here. Do you think the national press will pay any attention to it this year?
You know, they usually don't, so I don't know why this year would be any different, which is, you know, very sad. But, you know, folks can read their Catholic paper and tune into their Catholic radio to find out what's going on.
Absolutely. We'll have coverage going on all day. Okay, what's the latest on Virtus?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned earlier, the media stories around clergy sexual abuse, but people shouldn't forget or discount the church's ongoing work to create and maintain safe environments for children and vulnerable adults. And this past week, I had the opportunity to interview two people in the Archdiocese who are really involved in this effort through the Office for the Protection of Children and Youth. You two know, but a lot of people don't, that anyone in church ministry who has contact with minors, and that includes clergy and church and school employees and volunteers, have to do three things. They have to sign a code of pastoral conduct, they have to submit to a background check, and they have to attend an adult safe environment training session called Virtus. And that's a three-hour facilitated session with video and group discussions, and it's all aimed at raising awareness about child sexual abuse and giving adults some knowledge and tools to help prevent and, if necessary, to respond appropriately to child sexual abuse. And we've had about 60,000 people attend these Virtus sessions since they began back in 2005. And so people can read more about these efforts, which, you know, frankly, are among the most comprehensive efforts being done by any organization in the United States right now to protect children. And the two folks I interviewed with the office, just give a very good history of where this came from, why we're doing it, and really cite some good stories of, the difference it really is making in making safe environments in our churches and in our schools and in other places as well. It really has an application beyond just that, because it's an issue that just doesn't involve the church. It involves a lot of society.
Oh, yes. Well, and really today, because of programs like this, the church is a very, very safe place.
Absolutely. It's absolutely.
Well, tell us about Men on a Mission. This was a great one.
Yeah. You know, our front page story this week is about... It's a story about Matt Burke and his friend Rich Chapman, who spoke recently at a St. Paul's Outreach Men on a Mission. They have authored a new book called All Pro Wisdom, The Seven Choices That Lead to Greatness. And the book is organized around seven questions about identity and purpose in life and finding a strength greater than yourself and self-improvement. And they talked with an impressive list of NFL players, people like Jared Allen of the Vikings and Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. These are guys who embody these good choices, making good choices in life, and living out these attributes that they identify in the book. And as I said, Matt and Rich spoke recently at Men on a Mission, and we interviewed them afterward about how they came to write the book and what they learned from writing it. So let's listen to a part of that interview.
You know, got to know Rich and really developed a quick admiration for him. Became a mentor for me, great influence, and Rich is a deep thinker, and we talked about a lot of things, some of being these choices, these seven choices,
yeah.
And it was just, it really, I felt what he was saying in my soul. I knew it to be true. And
it was about 2 years ago that we were having these discussions, and we didn't have the title at the time, The Seven Choices, but we were dealing with, you know, the communication of the truths or the concepts. And it was probably in the summer we thought, let's move with this, and Matt said, well, let's get some guys on the phone.
November 30, 2012, the reason I know the date, although, I mean, I would have remembered anyway.
Oh, of course, just being
it was my parents' 40th wedding anniversary. And we had a big party for them, and that night went over, and mm-hmm. We officially sent out requests, kind of kicked the...
We literally typed out the emails sitting in my office, just, okay, this one goes to the Baltimore Ravens, this one goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And we
and they were from Matt's, email, and asking them if they could get, Troy Polamalu to agree to an interview. And if you go on Wikipedia, it says right in there, Troy Polamalu does not grant interviews. And when I got on the phone with Troy, he said, okay, I don't grant interviews, but this is for Matt. It's different. And that's the response I got from all these guys. I talked to John Harbaugh, same thing. Jason Whitney in the book, he said, I want to be like Matt Burke. If I can play and finish out like Matt, that's my goal. That's the legacy I want to live. That's what these guys think about Matt.
What's cool, these guys in the book, it wasn't, do an interview, whatever. I mean, these guys, they really, they embody these choices. They believe in it. They live it. And that was just kind of another level of, this is awesome. This is great stuff, and we're so blessed to have those guys, them be who they are, and then to want to help us with the project.
And,
these guys took time, and Rich, we just want 10 minutes of your time, and we promised it. And I told Rich, these guys get pulled in a million directions. We need to say 10 minutes, and we need to honor that commitment.
Yep.
And you know, if you listen to tape, you know, Rich said, okay, okay, hey, that's 10 minutes. Up. And they say, I got more time. Roger Goodell was, what, 35 minutes? The commissioner of the NFL, 35 minutes.
Jared Allen was 45 minutes, and he had to go to, you know, he got out of his car because he had a meeting to go to. I mean, any of these guys would have talked, they loved to talk about this because it was about depth and content, you know, and living. Not, it wasn't about football.
We want to get to the fringe. We want to get to those people who maybe haven't, well, who haven't thought about these questions.
Right.
In any type of lens or you know, come up with their answers, have made these choices. There's a lot of, especially young people, there's a lot of influences out there, a lot of stimuli, a lot of it not good, but with these questions, posing these questions, and with the visibility of the guys that we were talking about before, this will give those people permission to answer these questions and answer who are they, what's their purpose, and engage them in these thoughts or these discussions, and they're important questions to answer.
Our goal was to present it in a very non-threatening way, because that's a pretty heavy question to say, who am I? But it's a light touch on heavy topics. So we say, okay, here's what Jared Allen had to say. What do you think he meant? You know, when he said, football is what I do, it's not who I am. What do you think he meant with that? That's a good discussion topic. You know, Jason Witten says, my identity starts from within. It's about who I know and who I serve. Everything follows from that. What do you think he meant by that? Right? Roger Goodell talking about when you face adversity, it has a way of introducing you to yourself. What does that mean? And it gets a person into a discussion about their identity. And again, what's the payoff? If I understand my identity, I have the confidence to be myself. You know, the quote that Matt brought up the other day by Catherine of Siena was, be who you ought to be, and you will set your world ablaze. Isn't that powerful? You know, that's what God wants us to be, is who he made us to be.
It is powerful. I mean, it's you feel good after you can establish your answers to these questions or make these choices for yourself. And what's really cool is these guys that we interview, you know, we don't have Aaron Rodgers talking about football, talking about, you know, how I became a good football player. That's really the power of those guys. They don't talk about their football prowess or accomplishments. It's not about that. It's about them as men. That's where I think the, you know, you can't find this material anywhere else, because nobody asks these guys.
So it appears that it's a book about greatness. How did Aaron Rodgers become an NFL most valuable player? How did Matt Burke win a Super Bowl? It's not what the book is about. So they're drawn in by this term greatness and choices and big names. And what they're quickly drawn into is that these guys are saying greatness is not about winning the Super Bowl. Greatness is about becoming the person God made you to be. Powerful.
Football is kind of a civic religion in our culture. So it's a great language to communicate with. I mean, it's not just men. I mean, a lot of women love football too. But it's a great, let's say, an equipping tool, you know, for fathers that, you know, I want to talk to my son about identity. How do you start that conversation? Well, like the Jared Allen says, football's not who he is, it's just what he does. That's a conversation a son and father can have pretty easily.
This is life-changing, transformational conversations. That's why we think, because it's not about Matt or me or our ideas. These are about truths that God wants all of us to think about and embrace. And if that indeed is true, it could be a movement. I really believe it's a part of the new evangelization, Holy Spirit movement.
This is a calling. We're on a mission, and this is what we've done. And it's taken a lot to get to this point, but we couldn't be more energized, excited. We're serving a purpose greater than ourselves. That's evident to us. We feel it, and we're honored to do it, too.
Football is a civic religion. I love that.
Yeah, and you know, when he talks about it in the context of evangelization and that phrase, be who you ought to be, and you will set the world ablaze.
Oh,
you know,
that's just great.
It's very powerful stuff. You know, this book is going to be out later this month, and Matt will be back in the Twin Cities in early February for a few book signings, so folks can check out the story to find out the dates and places for those.
Catholic Spirit is out, came out yesterday, should be on your coffee table. Joe Towalski, thanks for joining us.
Have a great weekend.
We'll see you next week. You can hear Joe Towalski, editor of the Catholic Spirit, every week here on the Rediscover Hour. And you can find the Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
Coming up on the Rediscover Hour, in answering the call, we'll speak with Father Bill Baer about his upcoming talk on the Rediscover Faith 2014 Speaker Series.
And hear about a unique local opportunity for nurses, doctors, therapists, and others to rediscover joy in healthcare through promoting the dignity of human life. Coming up when we come right back.
Rediscover.
The Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio is presented each week by Stinson Electric.
This is Paul Archambault of Stinson Electric. We're proud to sponsor the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a trusted supplier of electrical services in the Twin Cities area.
Stinson Electric solves electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers.
My customers really appreciate the electricians that I send out there. Their professionalism, their personality, their responsibility, the fact that they can call and get someone out there that knows how to solve the problem, does it in a timely manner, and is neat, tidy, polite as they do it. I get a lot of feedback about the employees.
It's rare to find a company so dedicated to doing business the right way so that everyone benefits.
We'd like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I'd be happy to meet with you and discuss your electrical needs. I can be reached at 612-424-7382 or on the web at StinsonElectricInc.com.
Raise a glass to friendship and knowing.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Kelly Walquist, sitting in for Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. Are you a healthcare worker, or do you know someone who is? And you'll want to hear about an upcoming conference focused on joyfully bearing witness to the dignity of the human person in the midst of escalating challenges and threats to human life in healthcare.
The upcoming Rediscovering Joy in Healthcare Conference offers healthcare workers a unique opportunity to promote life in all aspects of their work. One of the conference's organizers, Diane Johnson, a radiation oncology RN here in the Twin Cities and mission director for the Carrazio, joins us with more about this upcoming local opportunity. Thanks for talking with us today, Diane.
Oh, thank you for this opportunity.
Give us the basic details on Rediscovering Joy in Healthcare. When is it? What is it? Where is it? Who should attend?
Well, the conference is going, it's kind of a new forum for both St. Catharines University and St. Thomas, and the dates are March 28th, which is Friday evening. We'll start with Mass at St. Catharines in the Cour de Car Chapel, and then the keynote address and the dinner will follow in the ballroom of that same area, and then we move to the next day to St. Thomas on March 29th, where we'll begin again with Mass, and the conference will be all day in the Anderson Center of St. Thomas. It is intended for truly anyone in healthcare. It's open for the interesting thing is Carrazio is a new apostolate, and we have a new paradigm, and it's really interdisciplinary. So we are very open to all in healthcare, including chaplains, members of the clergy who teach in health professions, students. We're gifted with a small scholarship, but it's some. So we have probably opportunity for some students to attend on a scholarship fund. We would support having anybody who's in research. This is a conference actually we're dedicating to the servant of God, Jerome Lejeune. And we're actually struggling on our brochure to make sure we have the French accents right on there. But I would encourage people to come to our website, rediscoveringjoy.com, and to get, I think the best way to get a flavor of the conference is to actually to view the little YouTube of Servant of God Jerome Lejeune. That's kind of our intent, is for us to grow in holiness, and he's on his way to canonization. And that's meant for all of us.
Diane, I have to tell you, when I saw that you were going to be on today, I was so excited. It's like the marriage of my heart. I'm an RN, and I am. And not only that, in the last 10 years, I've really dedicated my life to sharing the joy of the gospel. So when I saw the joy in healthcare, I was like, praise God.
Yeah.
I do have a question. How did the idea for the conference develop?
Okay, I'm going to be honest. This wasn't our intention.
Come, Holy Spirit.
We thought, you know, it's... praise God, I have a beautiful friend who's a professor of, teaches the grad students, Professor Kathleen Calbert at St. Catharines University. And she and I have been sort of, talking to each other for the last few years, and she's such a mentor to me, an exemplar of how to live the gospel of life. But she notified me, I think last fall, saying, gosh, Diane, there's this great book called Biomedicine and Beatitude written by, and I'm going to pronounce it, the father's name, the author, Father Nicanor Pierre Jorge Austriego. He's from the Dominican Republic. He teaches at Providence, Rhode Island in Providence College. He is a PhD in molecular genetics. So when she said, you've got to read this book, it's fantastic. So I got it right away. I'm one of those one clickers on the internet, so I got the book in like a couple of days, and I'm reading through it. And in the introduction, close up front, it talks about the best bioethics are done on your knees. And I knew then we had encountered a classic. And then I found out that Father Floater was teaching the same book at the seminary. And so the idea was, let's just bring Father here. Let's just have him come and give us a talk. Well, it has snowballed into the most incredible group of people who are coming. The graces to support this effort are, I want to say, nothing short of miraculous. We don't have the time, but it's been quite amazing.
So is this the first event of the size and scope organized by the...
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely. And it's actually... I don't know if I've got my historical facts right, but I think it's the first time St. Thomas and St. Catharines have sort of done a joint venture like this. So it's been, working with both of the institutions has been just a grace. Sister Amata Miller from I don't know if you've seen, when I sent you all the sponsors, that's what's kind of incredible, is that we now are sponsored by the St. Catherine University Miser Initiative for Catholic Identity, the Henrietta Small School of Health, University of St. Thomas Center for Catholic Studies, the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, and our own local guild of the Catholic Physicians Guild. So this has become, you know, everybody just wanting to help us in some way. And I would ask, before I neglect to say this, prayers are so appreciated. We know that that's where we get our source of our strength. So... I would just encourage prayers for this initiative.
What are some of the biggest challenges facing healthcare workers when it comes to practicing the faith?
To be quite honest, that requires... first of all, there's many ethical, moral challenges that mm-hmm. we just sort of encounter in our own work. We have technical challenges. We have... sort of the way that medicine is going and healthcare is going right now, it can seem overwhelming. What we now need to do, I believe, is a new paradigm to bring our Lord to the bedside, to bring His love to the bedside. So the challenges that we meet are really not so new in a way. I was thinking about this. What we are doing is really something the church has been doing for 2,000 years. And so the challenges that we meet are different than, you know, when our Lord first asked us, the healthcare workers, to care for the sick, or for all of us to care for each other. But the unique challenges that we have now, I would say, are moral imperatives. The challenges that we have to pick ourselves up after a weary day of, and if Kelly, if you know this, you know, we always joke that nurses have the blessed bladder control,
because we don't, and the smallest stomachs. Yeah. You don't eat, and you don't go to the restroom because you're so busy.
We're not intending this conference to sort of fix the system or to not address some of those things that should be addressed as a justice in the workplace. But we do see the challenge for us is for us to grow in the in come closer to our Lord and try and live those examples. So in the middle of the, so I think what we need to remember is that he's coming to us in the middle of the mess. So there is a lot of hot topic things out there, Paul. You know that, the abortion, euthanasia, physician-assisted suicide, and on we go. But those aren't the things that I think get us down. It's the not being able to see the everything that we do as healthcare professionals is chock full of meaning. Mm-hmm. That our Lord gave us all that we need to do right where we're at, and so we can be joyful. We know that suffering has meaning. We know that life has meaning. I often, and I don't want to just cut me off if I'm going too long because I'm always so long-winded, but I know that in healthcare, when I ever read the, you know, Our Lady and the wedding feast at Cana, and she said to them, you know, go, or our Lord says, go fill the water jugs. And then there's a line in there that says, and the servants knew where the water came from. It's like, you might as well put a neon sign out for Diane because because it says to me, yes, you nurses, you doctors, you pharmacists, you researchers, you know where life came from. You know if you're in the lab. You know if you're at the bedside. You are in service to life, and that's exactly what the mission of Curatio is, to help us grow in closeness to Christ, in his love, and stay there. That's the hard part. I mean, you want to run away. You think, oh, I can't do this another day, and I truly have been one of the what I call walking wounded. I was a burnt-out nurse. I thought, I got to get out. This is crazy. I can't keep doing it. But slowly, God brought me back. This conference isn't going to be like a cardio version. It's going to be a gentle, our Lord works gently, and it'll be enough to enthuse us all to bring people who are feeling that way, who are weary in healthcare or in research or, as a clergy person or in any of those supporting disciplines, to find kind of the restore the basis of what our church has been teaching us for 2,000 years.
Always a joy to visit with you, Diane. Got to get running, but thanks so much for coming on today.
You're welcome.
Here are the details on the Rediscovering Joy in Healthcare Bioethics Conference. It takes place March 28th and 29th at St. Catherine University and the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul.
Continuing education credits are available. You can register online now at rediscoveringjoy.com. There are cost levels from a limited number of student Saturday-only tickets for $50 through the full conference for $225. Reservations are required. No same-day registration is available, so register now. The opening talk at 7:30 on Friday, March 28th at the O'Shaughnessy is free and open to the public.
The Rediscovering Joy in Healthcare Bioethics Conference is sponsored by Curatio, Apostolate of Catholic Healthcare Professionals, in cooperation with St. Catherine University, the University of St. Thomas, the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis, the Catholic Medical Association, and the Twin Cities Chapter of the Catholic Physicians Guild. Well, coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from local Catholic men about who is the biggest influence on their prayer life.
Plus, Father Bill Bearer previews his talk in the upcoming Rediscover Faith 2014 Speaker Series when we come right back.
Rediscover.
Alexandra Kleinhausen here from Evo Camps Performance and Rehab. If you or someone you know is injured or living with pain, listen up. Being made in the image and likeness of God, our bodies are not meant to self-destruct. Your symptoms can be drastically improved with Wave Neurological Therapy. Your nervous system is the control center of your body and nearly forgotten as the key to recovery. The pain you feel is where the problem ended, not where it began, and if you treat where the problem ended, recovery will be minimal. What makes neurological therapy different and substantially effective compared to conventional approaches is that it targets the neurological origin of injury or disease, allowing your symptoms to quickly vanish. By facilitating a healthy nervous system, your body is allowed to work within God's design. The symptoms of everything from chronic muscle and joint pain, back pain and arthritis, to concussions, Lyme disease, and MS can be rapidly eliminated. Come experience a free session. Sign up at evocamps.com or call 651-587-3353.
The church is a community of disciples in mission. Our central focus is declaring Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Everything else in the church's life falls into harmony around that center.
Listener supported.
Christianity is not a philosophy. It's news about something of urgent importance, namely that this carpenter from Galilee who claimed to be the Son of God is risen from the dead. And therefore he is the Son of God. Therefore he is the King. He's the Lord. And your whole life's got to be arranged around him. That's the gospel.
Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Kelly Walquist.
And in today's answering call, we have a preview in the all-new Rediscover Faith 2014 Speaker Series. Maybe you attended the 2013 Speaker Series talks early last year. If you did, then you know they were extraordinarily well attended. Father Bill Baer, pastor at Transfiguration in Oakdale, presents the first talk in the series, Rediscover Why Pray, starting February 3rd. And Father Baer joins us now with a preview. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Kelly.
Let's start with a basic question. Why pray?
Well, part of the answer is the subtitle to my talk after Why Pray. The subtitle is The Reason for Our Restlessness. And I think that one of the things we're going to have to start right out of the starting blocks with is what is that itch that's in us, that God put in us, that St. Augustine spoke about so famously? If we recognize that, that's the starting point. There is a restlessness which is nothing less than a hunger for God, and that's going to be what I start to speak about.
We really can't overestimate the importance of prayer, can we? Even Jesus made time to pray often. Why do you think we find it so hard to find time to pray?
Well, there are many reasons, and I'll explore them in the talk, but I think the two main ones for modern people like us is either we don't recognize what's really causing us to be restless for God, and we say, oh, I just need a break, I just need a vacation, and we may need all those things, but God himself is drawing us into prayer, and we have to learn to recognize that. The second reason is we have so many distractions that way that we must somehow listen to God. Oh, it's tough in the modern world. We have to build a little bit of space for grace when it comes to prayer.
Do you have some practical tips that you could share with us for developing a more vibrant prayer life? We always find it hard to pray, but I've always been told also that to try to pray is to pray. But
well,
we've got to go beyond trying.
One of my suggestions goes back to my days when I was an architect, and it has to do with preparing or building the formwork. Again, ultimately, you pour the concrete in there, but you have to build the formwork before the foundations can actually be set up. And for some of us, it's as simple as that. We need a time. We need a place. And as dull as that sounds, that's the starting point. Everything else in our life is going to grab for our time and attention. Sometimes we have to build the formwork, and then God pours into it the life of prayer.
And I think now, when we're so busy and distracted by so many things, it's so important to get into that habit of building that form. I know I'm doing a prayer group with women from around the country, even just over the internet. And I have to tell you, every Tuesday night when we get together, I think, oh, I'm not going to have time for this. But then 2 hours later, after I sat down with them, it is such a blessing. And I think, how could I not have found the time?
Well, you know, the church, and even before the church, the Jewish people understood that there were two, they called them hinges, like hinges of a door. In fact, that's where we get the word cardinal from. Two times of the day, the beginning of the day and the end of the day. And the understanding was, if we can protect and guard some prayer time at those two moments, the rest of the day, like a large door, can actually swing open and shut and do quite well. But there's where the fight is, to guard and protect those two hinges at each day.
That would explain to me why we call the morning prayer and evening prayer, Lauds and Vespers, the hinges of the Liturgy of the Hours, right?
That's exactly what they are. and oh, the devil, and oh, our TV, and oh, all sorts of distractions happen at those two times of the day. And we must fight for those two times, even if they feel sometimes as dry as dust. Those two times of the day really make or break it for so many of us.
And when you get the fruit of that and the joy of actually spending the time, it makes you fight for it even more the next time, right?
That's so true. You know, the Jewish people are right. The day really begins at sunset the night before. And so many times, if we take that simple time of prayer that evening before, watch the difference it makes when we get up and start the next morning.
Now, your talk in the Rediscover Faith 2014 Speaker Series is titled Rediscover Why Pray. What will people learn? What will they take home with them from this talk?
First of all, they're going to learn that they probably fall into one of three typical groups of Catholics, groups of people, who have certain kinds of struggles with prayer. That's the one of the most important things. It's a bit of a one-room schoolhouse, these Rediscover talks are. And we have people, for example, who just have never, ever really had much of a prayer time, much of a prayer life. But there are others who have, but they've bumped into some walls, they've bumped into some struggles. And then there's a third group. There's a third group that has been praying and growing in prayer, and now they're itching for the next step. There's something next for them to take. And I'm going to be addressing how each of those three groups of people can find the next step in prayer.
What can make it easy for a person to develop a strong prayer life? If you had to give us one really good, here's what you could do.
I would always recommend make it as much like a true friendship, relationship, conversation that we have with people in life. I remember when I was in college and I was praying, I would sit in the chair and look across to the other side of the room because, of course, our Lord was not physically, visibly there, but it helped me to remember. I'm not just sort of musing and thinking about clouds and philosophy. I'm talking to a real person. In fact, I remember once my roommate walked in and he thought, what is this guy doing? But make it real. Using real words. Oh, the Bible's prayers are so real. They're not fancy. So make it conversational. Prayer truly is a conversation with God.
Talk a little bit about the importance of a time and place, and especially the place. There's something to be said for setting aside a corner in your house, isn't there?
Oh, there's a long tradition of that, whether it's those old-fashioned kneelers or prie-dieus, they used to be called, or some sort of corner, a little chapel where people have their images of our Lord and the Blessed Mother. Yes, it's so important. And, of course, why do we think that sitting in a big, plush, wonderful, loungy chair is the best place to pray? It's a great place to rest and to sleep. But, you know, there's a reason why old churches never had real comfortable pews. So we have to pick very carefully what the setting is.
Father, I have another quick question. You know, one thing with prayer is people get distracted, and then you kind of get down on yourself for being distracted in your prayer. How can you guide us when we're praying to the Lord, we've got this on our heart, and all of a sudden we're thinking, I should be making beef stroganoff for dinner?
Well, once again, many saints, we might be surprised to know this, we're really in some ways one of the first generations that doesn't think we should pray out loud when we pray. And yet the evidence is that for centuries, Catholics would pray out loud. Maybe might be praying quietly. But part of the beauty of praying out loud is it engages our senses. If we're just kind of in the thoughts like that, oh, it's so easy. So I tell people, if it's not going to frighten the children, go ahead and speak out loud in your personal prayer time.
Father Bill Barrett, it's always fun to visit with you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome, Paul. I can't wait for these talks. I hope lots of folks come. It's going to be great. It's going to be real help in prayer.
Wonderful. Mark your calendars now for the Rediscover Faith 2014 Speaker Series, which starts February 3rd. Father Bill Baer presents the first talk in the series, Rediscover Why Pray, and Pat and Ken Amelia present the second talk, Rediscover How to Pray.
The two talks are offered on consecutive weeks at each location. Here are those locations and dates. February 3rd and 10th at Holy Name of Jesus, Wayzata. February 4th and 11th at St. John Newman Egan. February 24th and March 3rd at Our Lady of Grace, Edina, and February 25th and March 4th at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton.
All Rediscover Faith 2014 Speaker Series talks begin at 7 p.m. and run 90 minutes, including hospitality time. Details are at the rediscover-faith.org under events. Total attendance topped over 15,000 for the 2013 series, so make sure that you're among those participating in the all-new talks focused on prayer this year.
Coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, find out about a deep and moving way to mark the tragic anniversary of Roe versus Wade and pray for hope, healing, and mercy. We'll be right back. Rediscover.
Stinson Electric solves electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. They strive for the best results for their customers.
This is Paul Archambeau of Stinson Electric. This summer, I took a 10-day vacation up at the lake. The first three emails that I opened on Monday morning were all compliments about how well my employees had handled various things while I was gone. What a blessing to come back to that.
Stinson Electric has such a wide set of skills, your electrical needs are always handled by an expert in the field.
Our ideal in our company is to have each person be continuously improving. So we host annual in-house training for our electricians. They're trained in safety, they're trained in new codes, troubleshooting techniques. That way, with a number of employees, we have kind of a wide range of knowledge. People become experts on different parts of the business.
Stinson Electric is the sponsor of the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. You can contact Paul at 612-424-7382.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Kelly Walquist, sitting in for Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. Next Wednesday marks the 41st anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion on demand in this country. Since January 22, 1973, more than 55 million children's lives have been lost to abortion in the U.S., and the lives of millions of parents have been shattered.
For more on local events to mark this tragic anniversary and pray for hope, healing, and mercy, we're joined by Sharon Wilson, Respect Life Coordinator for the Archdiocese. Thanks for joining us, Sharon.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Paul.
Several local events coming up to mark this tragic anniversary of Roe v. Wade. First, tell us about the all-night prayer vigil for life.
This is the second year that we put together this prayer vigil, which starts on the 21st of January in the evening with a mass, and then we pray all night until 7 a.m. the next day. And it was a beautiful idea of a post-abortion steering committee that I put together of men and women who had an abortion and have come to a healing through the church. And we're talking about how can we get the word out about our post-abortion program, Project Rachel. And there's also was a concern, I guess I would have to say, that this group of people were saying, you know, we always are praying for the unborn, we pray for the end of abortion, but we have to remember that there's more victims than the child who's aborted. There are the parents there, too. And we also talk about speaking for those who don't have a voice when we are talking about the unborn. But doing something like this and promoting Project Rachel and offering a place for people to come to learn more about the healing process is a way for the men and women who've had an abortion who often are not able to voice that themselves.
Then there's an annual prayer service for life the morning of January 22nd. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, the prayer service for life has been going on, I believe, 40 years. I mean, it's been 41 years, and I think it started the first year after the Roe v. Wade decision. And it's at the cathedral at 10:30. This year we have Bishop Cousins who will be leading us, and we may have some other bishops from around the state. And we have usually we pack the house. I think the cathedral holds about 3,000 people, and barring any sort of blizzard, we're hoping to pack the house for that prayer service. It is an ecumenical prayer service. Everyone is invited, and we end it at around 11:30, so it starts at 10:30 in the morning, ends at 11:30. That gives people ample time to walk to the state capitol, where there's a rally that's conducted by the MCCL, and that starts at noon.
There's a big opportunity for high school students on January 28th called Row on Trial. Can you tell us a little more about that?
It is so cool. It was a brainchild of Teresa Collette and the Pro-Life Center at the University of St. Thomas Law School. And what they do is, it's not a reenactment of Roe v. Wade. What it is, if there were to be a case that could be taken to the Supreme Court and be tried to be able to debunk Roe v. Wade, what would that case be? And the law professors and law students and even some judges and attorneys in our area are going to put that on for any of the high school students or anyone who, it's for high school age students who want to come and observe that, but it's more than just observing it. As they portray this case, they ask all of the students there to really act as the Supreme Court judges. What would your vote be? How would you vote on this? So it's an amazing day, and I've been doing this work for quite a few years, and my forte is not the legal area. And I went last year, and I learned so much. And frankly, all these high school kids are way smarter than I am.
So do the students have an opportunity then to interact with the professors, or are they just watching? Is there like a Q&A?
There is a Q&A. It's presented so that they can hear, you know, see the whole process. And that's part of it, is learning the process of our legal system, our judicial system. And then there's an opportunity for students to ask questions, and really great questions. And it brings up those strange legal issues, like how can a woman who's maybe in a car accident, and she might be pregnant, and that person can be tried for a double homicide or something. But if that woman were driving to an abortion clinic, she can end the life of that child. So there's all these strange things about, you know, Roe being just really bad law, if not the larger moral issue with it.
And if Teresa Collette is behind this, I know it's got to be a fascinating day.
She is amazing. It was her idea, and we try to plan it during Catholic Schools Week, hoping to get some of our Catholic schools involved. But really, even if your school is not coming, or you have a group of homeschool kids, or just a pro-life club, or a parent who's interested in coming, we do not need to have chaperones come with the students. But please register, and it's all free, and that will be at 10 o'clock on January 28th.
So if you're someone like me who has graduated from high school, say, a little over 10 years ago, and you wanted to see this, I mean, is it possible for adults to be there, or would that just be a great opportunity then to take a group of high school students?
I think it would be absolutely fine for adults to come. You'd still want to register and give Bethany a call. There's a phone number, I believe, that you have, and let them know. The interaction part is really for the high school students, so we leave that. But there, I believe there'll be plenty of room for adults to kind of sit in and listen. But if you have access to some high school students, bring them with.
Sharon, thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's always great to talk with you.
Thank you. And please come next week. We've got a full week of many things going on.
Here again are the details on the upcoming life events that Sharon discussed. First, January 21st and 22nd, you're invited to participate however you are able in an all-night prayer vigil for hope, healing, and mercy to remember those harmed by abortion and pray for healing. Vigil begins at 7 p.m. January 21st with Mass, and ends at 7 a.m. January 22nd with benediction and exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. Takes place at St. Mary's Chapel at the St. Paul Seminary. There's free parking in the seminary parking lot on the University of St. Thomas St. Paul campus. For more information, call Sharon Wilson, 651-291-4506. That's 651-291-4506.
Then, later in the day on Wednesday, January 22nd, the annual prayer service for life takes place at 10:30 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. Parking space is limited, so please consider carpooling or taking a bus. CARCHSPM.org for more details.
And here are the details of that Roe on Trial event for high school students that Sharon mentioned. It's on Tuesday, January 28th, 10 a.m. to 12 noon at the Owen Science Center in the 3M Auditorium on the University of St. Thomas, St. Paul campus. University of St. Thomas law professors will present arguments challenging the validity of Roe versus Wade. Students will have opportunities to interact with professors. To find out more, call Bethany Fletcher at the University of St. Thomas School of Law, 651-962-4830. That's 651-962-4830. We've linked all of this information on our show page. Every week we catch up with local Catholics and ask them a question. This time it's, what are some of the greatest influences on your prayer life?
I am Kelly from St. Charles Borromeo Parish. The influence in my life has been through family and through our priests at St. Charles, who are wonderful, bring the prayer and bring the sacraments to us so well. They have greatly influenced us and greatly influenced my life itself.
Yes, I'm Jerry from Minnetonka, go to Immaculate Heart of Mary, and I believe my parents have the most influence in my prayer life, that we prayed the daily rosary and had a great influence on my life.
Dan from St. Mark's and St. Paul, and the person who's had the biggest impact on my prayer life is St. Francis, just following, reading about his early life and his time away from his friends and his brothers to be with the Lord really impacted me.
Hi, I'm Carol. I go to the Nativity of Mary in Bloomington. And for my spiritual life, the one that inspired me most was Bishop Dudley. And it was just, he knew my wife when she was a little girl. And so we got to be very close friends. And it was because of him that I converted from Lutheran to the Catholic faith.
My name's Joe. I live here in St. Paul, but I actually go to school at the University of Dallas, and I'm a parishioner at Nativity of Our Lord Parish in St. Paul. I guess as far as what person has had the biggest influence on my prayer life, I have to say two people. One, I guess my dad, because he prays every day, and I guess growing up, you know, ever since I was a little kid, I remember seeing him in the back room on his knees in prayer, and I think I always knew that if I wanted to be a man of God, that was something that I would have to do, and so I always thought praying every day is important, and so he's definitely been the biggest influence. But I guess more recently, as I've been sitting in prayer times and as I've been reflecting, I think, honestly, Pope Francis, as an example of, you know, the type of evangelizer and the type of man of prayer that one should be. I guess the example that he set, he's someone that always comes up when I think, when I'm praying and when I think about, you know, what a man of God should be, who a man of God should be. So I'd say he's the second biggest influence.
Okay, my name's Mark. I'm from the Cathedral Parish. And the biggest influence on my prayer life, the first initial thing I'd say is that pops into my mind is my dad. But actually, both my parents have been influential in teaching me to pray. But when I think about that, it goes back to my grandparents, particularly on my dad's side, who just were faithful Catholics, and by before the end of their lives were attending Mass every day and always prayed the rosary.
We catch up with local Catholics and ask them a question every week. If you have an idea for a question, share it with us on our show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org and click on radio in the top navigation bar. Time now for a quick look at other upcoming local Catholic events. On Friday, February 14th, St. Paul's Outreach, Men on a Mission, presents Bishop John Lavoir of New Ulm speaking on the new evangelization. It takes place at 7 a.m. at the Embassy Suites in Bloomington. There is no charge, but donations are gratefully accepted to offset food costs. To RSVP for Bishop Lavoir's talk, visit spoweb.org or call 651-451-6114. That's 651-451-6114.
And a reminder about the talks Father Bear discussed with us earlier in the show today. The Rediscover Faith 2014 Speaker Series starts February 3rd. Talks in the series begin at 7 p.m. and run 90 minutes, and that includes hospitality time. The 2014 series consists of two talks, Rediscover Why Pray and Rediscover How to Pray. These two inspiring talks are offered on consecutive weeks at each location, February 3rd and 10th at Holy Name of Jesus, Wayzata, February 4th and 11th at St. John Newman, Eagan, February 24th and March 3rd at Our Lady of Grace, Edina, and February 25th and March 4th at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton.
Registration is open for the annual Archdiocesan Lenten Women's Retreat on March 8th. This event, sponsored by the Archdiocese Office of Marriage, Family, and Life, takes place from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at St. Peter Catholic Church in North St. Paul. This inspiring morning of prayer and reflection features two talks by Relevant Radio's Father Rocky. The theme is The Lost Art of Femininity. The cost is $15 per person. Women of all ages are invited. Come and bring a family member or friend with you. To register, go to archspm.org and search under events, or call 651-291-4489. That's 651-291-4489 for more information.
And registration is also open for the Archdiocesan Men's Conference. It's March 22nd at the Anderson Fieldhouse on the University of St. Thomas St. Paul campus. Confession starts at 7 a.m. Programming starts at 8 a.m. and ends at noon. Morning of Inspiration will feature mass, dynamic, nationally known speakers, fellowship, and food. Adult admission, $20. Student admission is $10. To register, go to archspm.org, search under events, or call 651-291-4489. That's 651-291-4489 for more information.
And a reminder about the Rediscovering Joy in Healthcare Conference we discussed earlier in the show. Here are the details on the Rediscovering Joy in Healthcare Bioethics Conference. It takes place March 28th and 29th at St. Catherine University and the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul. Continuing education credits are available. Find out more and register online at rediscoveringjoy.com. Registration is required, and there is no same-day registration available. And for more information on any of the events we mentioned today on the Rediscover Hour, please visit the Rediscover Hour show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org and click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, a preview of the second talk in the all-new Rediscover Faith 2014 Speakers Series.
And we'll hear from attendees at local events marking the tragic anniversary of Roe versus Wade.
Plus, find out about a special opportunity for single parents offering heavenly help in raising their children.
The Rediscover Hour, brought to you by Stinson Electric. Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., and Sundays at 9 a.m., right here on Relevant Radio.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio.